In 1967, the BBC commissioned the Beatles to write a song for the United Kingdom's contribution to a program called Our World. It was watched by over 150 million people in over 26 countries, and it was the first live global television show. The Beatles were asked to come up with a song and a message that would be understood by everybody around the world, said their manager, Brian Epstein. And the song they wrote for that special occasion is a song that sums up everything that was in this first letter to John: all you need is love. Within days of its release in the United Kingdom and the United States, it became a number one hit, one of more than 14 that the Beatles would have in their career. And this simple little song sums up what this sermon is also all about. It's about love, because that's what life is all about, love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. It's about love, love, love. From the moment you were born until the moment you die, and every second, and every minute, and every hour, and every day, and every month, and every year, and every decade that passes, the same purpose of life is found in God giving us time to learn how to love as God loves us. The entire purpose of time itself is dedicated to this, to what it means to truly love another human being. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. But the shape of God's love in us is forever changing throughout our lives. It does not remain the same. The shape of love in us never stays the same from year to year. For example, if you are 3 or 1, as Andrew almost is, or 4 or 5 for the matter, the shape of love looks something like this. A little 3-year-old comes up to you without even thinking or asking about it and throws his arms or her arms around you and kisses you and hugs you and pulls on you and tugs on you and slobbers all over you without ever giving it a second thought. A 3-year-old will trust a parent the way we are supposed to trust God. Complete confidence, reckless abandon. They'll leap off of couches into your arms, knowing that you're going to catch them, even though you're not aware that they're about to leap. That is the shape of love when you are 3 years old and younger. Then the shape of love begins to change, because God's love in us is forever changing. You become a little bit older. And let's say you're in fifth grade. And with my fifth grade friends, Guy Friesen and Jimmy Twyford and Jimmy Hackett and Bill Chalk, we would take our knives and our BB guns and hike out to the Jacksonville Creek in Illinois, where we would build forts and shoot up tin cans and old soda bottles and have the time of our lives during the afternoon. What a time we had. It was just boys, no girls, because that was the shape of love. When you're a fifth grader, it's about being all boy. Time passes, and the shape of God's love changes again around the 9th grade. When I was 15 years old, I remember falling head over heels in love for the first time with Leslie Keeter. She was the daughter of my father's secretary, and we met at our church youth group. And Leslie, one Friday night, was having a slumber party at her house. And so I talked my best friend Kent into driving over to Leslie's house to surprise her. Mind you, I wasn't supposed to be driving my dad's VW van at this age. I don't even know if I had a license yet. So I drove it over to Kent's house first, and then we both went over to Leslie's. And then I drove the van home in reverse so that I could erase the mileage. In those days, you could actually do that in a VW van. You could drive it backwards and watch the odometer reverse itself. I thought I was so smart and slick. In those days, you could do such things, and that was the shape of love in those days. Show your girlfriend how daring you could be, and we were so nervous that we stayed for just 15 minutes, and then we left. And when we went to leave, we climbed into the van only to find that it wouldn't start. So Kent and I had to push the van as fast as we could down a slight incline, and I had to pop the clutch, and we both jumped in and got into the van, and I drove it in reverse down Olive Boulevard in the wee hours of the morning, while my folks silently slept in their beds. By the way, my father found out the next day, and I found out about another Shape of Love. The years passed by, and I have my daughters, Hannah and Rachel, twins, just like Jennifer and her twins. The moment they were born was beyond compare for me. It was beyond description even. It was the most miraculous moment of my life. It's one of surprise, exhilaration, awe, and utter terror, all rolled up in one ball. I went from, aren't they amazing, to how am I going to afford college? Within a nanosecond. And this was yet another amazing shape of God's love that was inside of me. Life quickly changes, though, again, and I go through a divorce. And I think my life and my career has come to a crashing end before it's even really begun. But because of God's love, because of God's graciousness, God decides to put the woman of my dreams into my life. And so when I met Dottie, I fell head over heels in love with her. And within 2 weeks of dating her, I knew that this was the woman that I was going to marry. And the shape of love inside me changed once again. The years have gone quickly since I married Dottie. And I have discovered that there is a quality of love that has always been there, but was not as pronounced in the beginning as it is now. And I'm sure it's true for all married couples that stay married for a long time, which is that quality we call friendship, where your spouse becomes your best friend, the person that you share every idea, the person that you share every fear, the person that you share every secret with, the person that knows you inside and out better than anybody else and still accepts you and loves you the way your parents did when you were three. And yet again, the shape of love changes in you once more. And before you know it, your children, they are grown. You're proud of them. You see them go off to college and graduate. You see them leave the nest, some of them, and start adult lives of their own. Now we look forward to such things as weddings and grandchildren. And the shape of love yet changes once more. My father and my mother, for example, and what is there for them, I assume is there also for Kirk and Debbie and Bob and Doris, for all folks who have grandchildren and love them deeply, because grandchildren bring grandparents a joy and a happiness that's, again, beyond compare and description, because it's without all of the work and responsibility. As my father and mother used to say to me, Stephen, the best thing about being a grandparent is being able to give your beautiful, beautiful daughters back to you. Been there, done that, love you. And the shape of love changes once again. Life quickly changes. It feels like it picks up speed the faster we go. It proves Einstein's theory of relativity, that things do get faster the older we get. And it feels as if the pace of life is on fast forward now and you want to slow it down. Sometimes you even might want to rewind it to go back and relive some of those glorious moments, and you can't. And you watch as you age, and you watch as your parents age, and you watch as your friends age. And in my job, I get to watch all of you age. I watch as my mom and my dad and so many others take care of each other now as they grow older and move into their 80s and 90s. And the shape of love changes once again, because now it's about facing things like diseases, cancers, incapacities like strokes, and dementia, and the march of that unrelenting clock that won't stop. And the shape of love has moved far past the passion of years that have gone by. The shape of love has moved past even the friendship stage now that has deepened throughout all of those decades of married love. You now have the possibility of loving somebody who does not recognize you. Their face and their heart do not know you except in fleeting moments. And that, too, is part of the changing shape of love. And then death finally comes. And the house or the apartment is left empty. Time is empty. The shape now of love is a big gaping hole in your heart. And once again, the shape of love has changed. But it all comes back to the song, "All You Need Is Love." That's what life is all about. From the moment you are born until the moment you die, it's about learning how to love the way God loves, which is always changing for the better. Because God wants us to know the abundance of life and love, and He wants us to know the depths of life and love. So if anybody ever asks you what life is all about, I want you to tell them, it's about love. All you need is love. Learning to love the way God loves. And it is different at every single stage of life. So when God commands us, as He does in 1 John, to love in these differing ways, it's like God commanding fish to swim or God commanding birds to fly. When God commands us to love as God loves, God is simply commanding us to be the kind of people that we were created to be in the very first place when He said, "In my image, I create you." And so when we baptize Andrew this morning, we are reminding ourselves of what this journey and what the shape of love is all about. Amen.